All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to be in the book of Psalm 62. Psalm 62. That's going to be our starting point here tonight. We're going to be talking about developing habits that will change your life. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. 6-2.
62, brother?
62. Linda. No, well, 1 Kings. We may be in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. No, I'm kidding you. I'm kidding. Daryl texted me earlier. He said that the dog ate a part of his Bible. And this Spencer's puppy, kind of a puppy. It's fairly, it's still a puppy, but it's like a horse and ate First Kings or something. So yeah, so man, at least he was in the Bible. You know that he was in the Bible. Yeah, yeah. Gonna. You know, as we talk about developing habits that will change your life. You know, if I were to look at you, or if I were to ask you, what kind of habits do you have? What are some of your habits? And sometimes we talk about habits, we think about, you know, bad habits. We think about smoking or something like this, but what are some, you don't have to answer this, but I want you to be thinking about this. What kind of habits do you have? And those habits that you have to ask yourself a question. Are they healthy habits? Are they hurtful habits? Are they helpful? You know, and so think about the habits that we have. And you know, I think I'd read one time that it takes 21 days to break a habit. And you know, sometimes our habit is we get up at a certain time. Sometimes our habit is we're creatures of habit, right? And so you can pretty much tell what you do, because this is what I do a lot of times all day, every day. And so, but we're going to be talking about developing habits that will change your life. We're growing in a lot of areas. We're growing intellectually. We're always learning. We're always moving forward. We learn new stuff weekly. There's some things we wish we didn't learn, but there's stuff we learn. And so we're growing. We are growing socially. You know, maybe you're an introverted. Maybe you're extroverted. Maybe you're flip-flopping back and forth from, I used to be extroverted, but now I'm finding myself to be more introverted. And well, I used to be introverted, but I find myself being more extroverted now. But we're growing emotionally, you know. When you think about that, you know, have you found yourself to be more emotional than you used to be? I'm just asking. So is that's normal, right? So I find myself being more emotional sometimes, and so that is normal. So y'all got to tell me this stuff, because I may be going through it, and I think I'm the only one. So y'all got to help this guy out. So we're growing emotionally, physically, you know. Some of us are on the downcline or going downhill on the physical part. But the thing is, we're growing, that the thing we should be growing in more than anything is spiritually. And a lot of times we put that last instead of letting that be first. And it should be the first thing that we do in our life is that we are to be growing spiritually. And if I were to ask you how we do that, you're going to tell me by being in the Bible, by reading the Word of God, by spending time in prayer, by evangelism, by being together with a body of believers. And that's how we grow spiritually. And so also know this too, that there also is a thing called a reset. Sometimes in our life we have to have a reset. Sometimes we've just gotten in a rut and we just have to have this reset in our life. And a lot of times when we get in a rut and we're going through a spiritual dryness in our life, it all comes back to our priorities. It all comes back to what have we put in front of our spiritual life. You know, whether it be hobbies, whether it be work, whatever it may be, what is it that is taking the place of our spiritual walk that should be number one in our life? And so as we look at this, and you got two options. You got option A, which is you live a busy, noisy, nonstop life. So look at your life and ask yourself, is it busy? Ask yourself, is it noisy? Does it feel like you're nonstop? Like it's just going all the time? And so, yes, or you can have option B and you learn to spend time with God. You see, if you live in a busy, noisy, nonstop life, you know what that leads to? It leads to frustration. Have you ever been frustrated? Many of us have been. And so that also, the personal results of that leads to conflicts that surround us. It leads to confusion that dominates us. And it leads to stress that overwhelms us. Has anybody in here ever battled with stress? Pretty much everyone. And so a lot of times it's when you have pulled away and you've backed away from your personal relationship with Jesus. And then you get to the end of your day and you thought, man, I haven't really even prayed all day long. And when I did pray, I was just doing it on the run. And you just pause for a moment and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been so busy. And then you look at that and you say, well, it's because I've put other things in front of the main thing. And so, but if you choose option B, you learn to spend time with God, which leads to satisfaction, which leads to being satisfied, and that leads to peace beyond understanding. It leads to that we receive insight, and that worry doesn't have a place in our lives. So as we look at Psalm 62, verse 1, we'll go down for a couple verses. It says, "Truly, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and He is my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken." So when he starts out, he says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God." And you will find that when you spend time with God, you will find rest with God. You will find that peace that passes all understanding. So whenever we start out right and we do a reset in our life, and we need those from time to time, we need checkpoint evaluations of our own life. You go to the doctor once a year, you go to the doctor twice a year, but when you go for what you call a what? A checkup. And in that checkup, they're looking for things that may not be, you know, where it needs to be. And you send me to the doctor, and my doctor was here Sunday. And I told him, I'm trying to figure this out. I thought we were supposed to eat healthy, and you give me two boxes of moon pies and an RC. And so, you know, when you go, they put the stethoscope on you. They run blood work. They do all of this stuff. And wanting to see if you're healthy. Wanting to see if your heart is in rhythm. Wanting to see if all these things are going right with you. Well, we need to have a spiritual checkup in our own life. Okay? Sometimes when you go to the doctor, you don't feel good either. You just know that you're just not feeling good. You want to go so that you can get to feeling good. You know what's amazing is that you know when you're spiritually not feeling good, you know it. You know it. And then you have to sit back and say, you know what? I need to go to the great physician. I need to spend more time with the great physician. And so here's what happens when we spend time with God. Okay? So let me ask you first before we move further. What happens when you spend time with God? And that's not a rhetorical question. That's a question. What happens when you spend time alone with God? Okay, say that one more time.
You start thinking more about God when you're not alone with Him. You're not reading your Bible.
Right.
At the end of the day, you'll think of something.
Yeah, okay.
Reflecting God.
Okay, okay, awesome. Well, and I'm taking that's your personal, because when I'm saying what happens when you personally spend time with God, what happens? You grow. Like, how?
You grow more spiritual. You grow more intimate.
Okay. All right.
My day's better even if things are bummy.
So your day's better even when things are bummy. Okay. Yeah, Rita.
You have more strength to face.
You have more strength to face the day. Yeah. What about you? It's you personally.
Peace.
You have more peace. Okay.
I have a
yeah. Okay. You have a prayer journal and you keep up with your time alone with God. Okay. What else? Yeah, Sheila. Yeah.
And just knowing that He's there, you know, and like it says here about me, just being silent sometimes.
Yeah.
Letting Him speak through the Holy Spirit, it brings me just, you know, sometimes it brings me to tears. Sometimes it makes me cry when I'm alone with Him because I'm convicted of something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else? What happens when you spend time with God? Anyone else?
You have less worry.
You have less worry. Yeah. Have you ever been around someone that you leave them and you worry more? You feel more stressed? You feel have a higher anxiety? You know? You know, you're around that, and then you come away like, man, I'm just wore out. But then when you spend time with God, I hear you say you just have less worry. You have more joy. You have a peace through the day. You know, that's what God does. So if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, there's three things here I'm going to give you that happens when you spend time with God. Number one, He changes my heart. When I spend time with God, He changes my heart. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." It is God who works in you. So He changes our heart. In Psalm 51:10, it says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You see, he changes our heart. He's given me a heart of flesh. We took out the heart of stone. He's given me a heart of flesh. And this new heart is a heart that is inclined to know and to understand Him more and more. So He changes my heart. You can testify too as a believer that when you spend time with Him, He changes your heart. When you spend time with Him in His Word, He gives you wisdom. When you spend time in His Word, He gives you understanding. When you spend time in His Word, He gives you a peace. So therefore, you have a peaceful heart. You have a peaceful heart. And so He changes our heart. Number two, He gives me direction. When I spend time with God, He gives me direction for living. I mean, I wouldn't know which way to go if it weren't for God. I would still be going in the same direction that I was going in a long time ago if it wasn't for God who changed my direction, who is even still helping me with the GPS of my life. It says in John 14:26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And so therefore, God is directing me, giving me the direction I need through the Holy Spirit of God that's living in me. When we pray, sometimes we ask the Lord, "Lord, please give me direction. Lord, help me to direct my mouth. Help me to direct my words. Help me to direct my mind. I need you to give me direction." If you're not getting the direction from the Lord, where are you getting the direction from? You're getting it from the world. Or you're getting it from someone else. But God is the one who gives us direction, and that comes when we spend time with God. So how important is it that we spend time with God? It is very important because we want Him to change our heart. We want Him to give us good direction. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Literally, how they used to travel is they would have candles on the ends of their shoes. And that was to light up their path as they walked. And the Word of God is that lamp, is that light that we need for everyday living. Your mind is being bombarded with so much stuff. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, television, work. And you know, and these phones now, they would tell you how much time you are spending on your phone. And then you look at that and say, how much time am I spending in the Word? What if God flashed in front of you your weekly time with Him? It popped up and you saw it and only you could see it. This week, time alone with God, reading time in the Bible, here's how much time you spent. And then on the same time, here's how much time you spent watching television, here's how much time you spent on social media, here's how much time you spent, man. And so we have to be careful because we have an enemy who wants to direct you away from God. And he does it through means that you may not even think of. So there's where you come back and you have that spiritual checkup to see where we are in this walk with Him. The third thing is, when I spend time with God, He helps me with my struggles. He helps me with my struggles. I mean, if it's okay, Jolie was come up to me just a little while ago, and she said that her mom just was diagnosed with cancer. And so what helps her in her struggles is the Lord. Is the Lord that will be with you, will hold on to you, who loves you. And so when you spend time with God, He is the most precious one who can help us during those times of struggle. It says in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I will give you rest. We're talking about this rest that comes from God from 62. He says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock. He is my rock. And He is my salvation." And so When I spend time with God, three things happen. He changes my heart, He changes my direction, and He helps me in my struggles. So the third thing we're going to look at here is how to spend time with God. How to spend time with God. Well, you may think, well, easy, right? Well, are you spending time with God? And sometimes that's a struggle. And so sometimes we have to have a reset. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I remember walking out on the dock with my dad when he worked at Midwest Terminal. He was bigger than me and I was a little kid. And I was excited to go out on the river, that dock that went out on the river to unload barges. And I remember him walking in front of me and I was trying to keep in step with him. I was trying to take every step that he took. That's what we're to do with God. We're to stay in step with him. So how do I spend time with God? Well, number one, you create a consistent time and place. You create a consistent time and place. Now, I know sometimes it's not always the same, but you create a consistent time and place. Where was Jesus' place? What was the time normally that the Bible would say? Early in the morning. It said that he withdrew early in the morning. And he also went to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place that he had been to. And there would be times that he would withdraw. So in our time alone with God, so I've shared this with you, but I'm going to share it again because not everyone's probably heard it before. And I've got 5 minutes because David's going to come here in a minute and we're going to do our prayer time because he asked me how long I was going to go. But you know me, I go a little bit longer sometimes. But Elizabeth, there was a youth in my group, her name was Elizabeth, and she went off to college and she was just growing in her faith and she was so strong in her faith and she went off to college and got really busy. She got busy with schoolwork, got busy with all this, and she called me one day just struggling and crying and I just don't know what's going on. And so we met and I said, so I want you to write out your day. I want you to take this piece of paper and I want you to write it out from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. She wrote it out, her day, and it was busy. And I said, I have one question. I turned it around. I have one question. What's missing? And it hit her. God. So I gave her another sheet of paper. I said, I want you to write a new schedule. I know you still got to do some of these things, but I want you to write a new schedule and I want you to implement God in all of it. And so that she wrote out a new schedule. A couple weeks later, she said, amazing. Absolutely changed everything. And she didn't even realize that all of a sudden, little by little by little by little by little, that she began to walk backwards away from God. And then wanted to know why. She was struggling. And the reason why maybe we struggle, which not maybe, is that maybe we've gotten so busy that we're not spending time with God. So create a consistent time and a place. Make it enjoyable. What I mean by that is I read, people ask me, what version of the Bible you use? I use the NIV. Not everyone likes the NIV. I like the NIV. You don't have to like the NIV. I like the NIV. Some people use ESV. Some people use King James Version. I like them all. I just don't understand the King James Version. If you use it, that's great. I don't understand Old English. And so I have a hard time. I had a hard time learning anyway in school. And so I have to simplify it for myself. And so the NIV has been really good for me in my learning. And so that's what I use. And so I like to go to a coffee shop. I like to be around donuts or bagels or whatever and coffee and put my headphones in. I'm real fidgety. I know me. And so I have to be, if I'm just at home by myself, boy, I struggle. But I have to go to a consistent time. And my time was always Panera Bread. It's just that one booth or the other one, if somebody took it, I'd really kind of get upset if somebody took my booth. But and I would have to tell them, get up. But no, I'm kidding. But that was my place. That's where I spent a lot of time studying. And what you said a while ago was is journal. Journal. That's something I don't do like I used to. Now, I did journal, and I've got some journals. My daughter, she journals like crazy. My wife keeps a journal and a little notebook. And so as you're reading, you're journaling things that God's teaching you. And so these are things that are good. And let me just give you another one here, is don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Be persistent. You ever started to read the Bible and then all of a sudden you just give up because you got lost place and you started on a Bible plan and you got to read this today and you got to read this tomorrow. You got to read, and then you get behind. I've been there, right? And then you're thinking, man, there's no way I can read all this to catch up. I've got to, and then you get frustrated and it's, oh, just go at your own pace. Here's what I do. I pick one book. And I don't give myself a time frame because I'm a slow reader. And I want to absorb what I read. Have you ever read something and you thought, I don't even remember what I just read? And so I take little chunks. Well, the Lord taught us that in eating. You don't shove the whole pizza in your mouth, do you? You slice by slice. And that slice, you don't eat it all in one, right? Bite by bite by bite. And so you read the Bible in the same way, and you don't overwhelm yourself thinking, I've got to eat this whole pizza. No, that's going to take you all week to eat that by yourself. And so you just take little chunks and you absorb it. And another thing I'll give you is I'll take a small book like Philippians or Ephesians or Galatians. And read one and just get all you can get out of it. And then go to another and get all you can get out of it. And then over time, people have asked me, have you read the Bible through? Yes, but not straight through. Not Genesis to Revelation. But I've read the whole Bible. I've read Genesis here. I've read Matthew here. I've read Exodus here. And so I've read the Bible, just not straight through. Now, some people can read straight through, straight through, straight through. I had a cousin, Kent, and he had read the Bible 5 or 6 times straight through. And I thought that was just really amazing. But anyway, I'm going to give you one last thought, and we're going to start our prayer time, okay? Spending time with God will increase the quality of your life. Spending time with God will increase the quality of your life. How will it increase the quality of your life?
Because you're going to learn something from it.
Okay.
And you learn something from God, it's a good thing.
Okay.
Therefore, it will increase your understanding of your quality.
Right. And the more you understand of who God is, His attributes, His sovereignty, the more you understand that, the more we can fall back on that. And more we can lean on that. Not just fall back on it, but also lean on that. And so when in my time with the Lord, in my spending time with Him, it just gives me a joy of being with Him. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine not wanting to be with the Father, not wanting to spend time with Him. He probably gets tired of me talking. No, I'm teasing when I say that. But throughout the day, I just talk to Him. I just talk. I mean, I ramble. Y'all ever ramble? I'm sure I ramble. And so I just talk. I mean, just, and sometimes the prayers are just real short, and sometimes they're longer. And so it's, or when you're in a situation, Lord, I don't have really a whole lot of time, but give me patience here. And just, it's just talking.